What?
What? An intro. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Weast World. Man, I got to make this intro quick because we got a lot of stuff today with my man, Greg Bissonette. And
woo!
I forgot how fun it is to hang with Greg Bissonette. We knew each other a million years ago on the road with Maynard Ferguson. And I've seen him off and on here and there throughout his illustrious career ever since. But spending time with him, you got to be in shape. My man is a tour de force, force of nature, a beautiful human being, the ultimate mensch, as they say. A wonderful cat. So he's played with everybody. His credits, you can find them down here in the YouTube info, and if you look at the audio section, I'll have all the credits and all the links, because my man is everywhere. He's a polymath, played with everybody, most famously these days Ringo Starr and his all-star band. But man, Gino Vannelli, Toto, Maynard, of course, everybody, David Lee Roth, the Cats. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Greg Bissonette.
That's a we combo.
Boom, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude,
look.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Hey, the audience is going crazy. I can barely hear you. Wait, can we get? We got any security or something? Let's.
We should get Ed Sargent on the case.
Get Ed in here. All right. Well, look.
Or Dennis de Blasio, he could be security.
Then he would take care of him. So look at this. Right here, it's Greg Bissonette. Look at that, folks.
Steve Weiss, South 21st Shuffle.
My man.
Ba-ba-da-da. Could you hear my drums? Can you hear my drums?
Yeah. Heard it about.
They're not cutting out?
Nope.
They're not cutting out? Name this song, Steve.
All right. Bebop Buffet. That's one of the Bebop Buffet tunes.
Bebop Buffet. That's the intro.
Yeah.
Name this rock song.
Uh-oh.
Name this rock song.
All right.
Name this rock song.
What do you got? Oh! Rolling Stones. Oh, no, wait. Hold up. A something band. An American
We're
band.
An American band. See, you're a rocker. What I love about you is when we were on the bus, you asked my brother Matt and I want to do a cool feel. What kind of feel should we do? And we said, we've been loving watching the Letterman show, that band.
David Letterman.
And you said, great, I'll write a song around that. And you did.
There it was, South 21st. That was what became that, man.
I just went down a couple times. I've been there three times and played that with our great friend who passed away, the great Roger Fox. I played that with his big band. He said, Steve Weiss, South 21st Street Shuffle. We had a ball.
That's great. Well, and you and I are maybe going to play that at the Butch Miles thing next year. So we're going to do that festival. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, let's just do it.
Oh, big time. So I'll tell you what. I have the book of Greg right here. The Bezo book of notes. Yeah. So I'm ready, man. If we have an hour, we got to make magic happen. So let's, Greg Bissonette begins in Detroit, Michigan. Basically, I mean, that's where you ended up as a young man. Were you born there?
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, my brother Matt, my sister Kathy, who you know,
yep.
Bud and Phyllis. We're all from Detroit. That's right.
Nice. That's beautiful, man. And it's a musical family, and it generates one of the great early bands in all of rock and roll, Today's People. What?
I love you. You did some research.
Yeah,
we got a bad delay. I'm cutting you off. There was a flute player in our middle school named Carl Muntean, and his mom, Zita Muntean, she decided that we should be Today's People. She picked the name because, you know, today, like right now, and then up with people, she kind of combined them. She already had business cards printed out. So we looked at it and we said, well, I guess we're Today's People.
There it is. That's, you know, that is a perfect 1970s, 80s name. I had a band, a garage band in the 70s that was not as cool. It was called the Tampa Token Hero Band. TTHB.
The tampon token hero band?
Yeah, TTHB. They were...
I thought you said tampon.
That was that when we were on the road with Maynard. We didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Tampa. Tampa you Nuggets.
You're from Hattiesburg, though. You're not from Tampa. You're Hattiesburg, right?
Right, but they had at the gas station, they had these little cigars called Tampa Nuggets that had wooden tips on them. And so we were the Tampa token. Yeah, that was not as big as today's people, but
think it was bigger, better name.
All right, then. Well, look, we're going to timeline this thing right through. So you go to our shared alma mater. You go to North Texas eventually after a beautiful time in Detroit with you and Matt and Kathy and Bud and Phyllis. But then you go to North Texas for Leon Breeden's final 1 o'clock band. And that's when I first heard about you, man. That and the killing group you were in in Dallas. What was that called? Buster Brown's or something?
Buster Brown. You knew about Buster Brown.
Yeah, man. We were here.
Did you come to the club that night with Stan Mark?
I don't think I did. That's when he learned about you, because I wasn't. I don't think I made it that night. Maybe. I don't think so.
Did you ever hear my story about how I got him to come down?
No. What'd you do?
Well, I am a big prayer guy, and from seeing Maynard from 12 years old all the way up to 18 when I went to college, I would always pray, "Dear Lord God, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, help me someday. Help me someday get a gig with Maynard Ferguson," right? So I'm sending out all these cassette tapes, and they probably all went right in the circular file. I met Stuart Ross a couple times on the road, and they always had different drummers, and I keep sending those bios and those tapes. But one time, after a long prayer, I remember going out and driving down University Drive, and there's a Holiday Inn, and I see this tour bus, and I look around, and Steve, it was like a vision. I saw Maynard Ferguson band. So I went back to my apartment, got the Yellow Pages, called the Holiday Inn. "Can I please have Maynard Ferguson's room?" And they put me through, and the guy picks up. I said, "Maynard?" He said, "No, this is Stan Marcus. I know who you are." He said, "I'm just getting the T-shirts out of the room. I sell the T-shirts." "I know you do, Stan. You're the lead trumpet player. I got this. I go to North Texas State, and I'm a Maynard freak." And Stan says, wait a minute. That's an oxymoron. You can't go to North Texas and like Maynard's band. They only like swing. That's a big swing school. Woody Herman, Buddy Rich, Stan Kenton, Maynard plays rock." I said, "Stan, Maynard's my second favorite band. Maynard, Chicago, but my first favorite is the Beatles. You guys play Hey Jude. You go out in the audience." I said, I love Maynard. "I'm a drummer, but I'm a hack trumpet player. I want to invite you down to this club I'm playing at tonight. It's about 45 minutes away in Dallas." He said, our bus driver, I think his name was Ed.
It could have been at that time. It was before Bob, I think.
Yeah, no,
it was
Don Tolles.
Don Tolman. That's it.
Don Tolman. He said, Don Tolman, our bus driver, he goes to bed early because we take off early in the morning. And I said, "I got three. I already had it worked out. I have three friends with station wagons. They'll pick you up after your gig.
Wow.
They'll drive you from Denton to Dallas. I'll put your names on the guest list. You don't have to pay. Come in, bring your horns. You can sit in." And this was the clincher. "Drinks are on the house." He said, "We'll be there." And he had a bunch of guys, Lindsey Blair, Nelson Hill, a bunch of guys came out and they sat in. And we were in the bathroom and Stan was a little inebriated. He said, and I was probably too. He said, "Man, you sound great, and you play in the 1 o'clock. We have a drummer now. His name's Dave Mancini. But when he leaves, you got the gig." And I said, "That's how it works." Then about a month later, Dave Mancini called me. He said, "Do you know a good bass player and keyboard player?" And I recommended Matt and Ron Pedley. They got the gig. They kept my name alive. And through nepotism, I got on once I moved to L.A. in 1982. So,
man,
when did you join the band?
I joined in 81, so I was out for a year before you came out. And this is a theme, man. This is an ID fix about Greg Bissonette. It's always been my opinion that Greg Bissonette does not wait for stuff to happen. You make stuff happen.
And if my will is in line with God's will, was a kid, that's what I learned in Lutheran catechism. Hey, you should have a communication with God. If you have the talent, you're working on the stuff, you're practicing, you're taking lessons, you got great equipment, you're on time. But if your will is in line with God's will, and that's how I got Maynard's gig, ELO, Gino Vannelli, Winkin' Brother to Brother a lot, you and I. the David Lee Roth gig, Maynard's gig, I don't think it was all on my own. Believe me. And Matt says the same thing. Well, I just talked to Matt. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Matt.
64. Bump, bump.
He's 64? That's impossible.
He said to say hello to you, buddy. Because you guys were at the band before me.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you came out, man, Matt is just one of the greatest cats in the world. The Bizanette family, I'm just like a huge fan. You guys are hooked up with spirituality and God and everything. Man, I remember on the road, here we are cutting up on the road and being madcap warriors out there. You guys always took the time to go to church. I thought that was incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what, we always went to church and we were always Christians. We weren't always good Christians.
Hello!
There were some females out there on the road and we partook.
Well, you
and
know.
And then David Lee Roth.
Oh, I can't even imagine what that was.
Hey, what happened with that brother-to-brother chart you wrote? We never played that live.
No, I played it a couple of times before you came out, and then did you ever?
Oh!
Yeah, yeah, we played it for a while, and then it just disappeared and never got recorded. That would have
My
been so fun.
My roommate was Mark Cranny, the brother-to-brother drummer.
Man, I would love to have heard you and Matt.
One of my best friends is Carlos Rios, the guitar player. And I just played last week with Jimmy Haslip, left-handed bass player.
Yeah, that line on Brother to Brother.
That sounds like Lydia.
Yeah, yeah.
Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Man, you are the perfect cat.
Where are you now, Steve? Nashville?
Chicago, out here in Chi-Town.
In Chicago.
Yep.
My kind of town.
Yeah, man, it's happening. Well,
Chicago is.
You know, I saw a man who danced with his wife here in Chicago. So Deborah and I
saw Leroy Brown, who was from the south side of Chicago.
That's the baddest part of
now,
town.
Now, for the podcasters out there, Weiss World, let's see. I'm going to put you on the spot. Since
Uh-oh.
You live in Chicago, but you're from Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
That's
and
right.
And you toured the world. You played the Blackstone Hotel with me, with Maynard Ferguson.
Yeah.
Let's see if Steve Weiss, we got a little bit of lag time here, latency.
Okay.
Let's see if Steve Weiss knows these lyrics. Ready?
All
Follow
right.
me. On the south side of Chicago.
Huh. It's the baddest part of town.
If you go down there, you better.
Just beware of a man called.
Leroy Brown. Now, Leroy was a gambler, and he liked his fancy clothes, and he liked to wave his.
Diamond ring in front of everybody's nose. Please.
He was bad.
Bad.
Leroy Brown.
Baddest latency.
In the whole damn interweb. Anyway, you win the prize. You win. Steve Weiss.
Oh,
behind
oh.
door number one, Terrell Merrill has a new trombone for you.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Mine's getting a little old.
Good job, Steve. Good job.
Oh, man.
See, what I love about you, Steve.
Yes.
Is you are an incredible, one of the best ever on the history of in the history of the world, one of the best jazz trombonists. I put you,
man.
Conrad Herwig, Bill Watrous, in a category amongst yourselves. But those guys, I don't think, would know the words to Leroy Brown or about Brother to Brother.
That's right. Definitely, man. And you
You're
know,
a pop guy like me.
Absolutely.
Pop guy. We love jazz, but we love pop.
I love that you guys come from that and we hit it off so quickly. When you joined the band, when you joined Maynard's band, this is the first time I heard this effect. Of course, you and Matt think like one brain. You know, you grow up together and just play so well together. And we were playing Birdland, and I'm just listening to you guys grooving. And then you did the Al Hemiola. You did do.
I can't believe you remember that and you knew it was a Hemiola.
I did.
And that's why you're Steve Weiss, because you,
please.
There's composers that can write amazing charts in any style. But the fact that you knew we were one, two, triplet, one, ba, 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 ba,
yep.
Then he called you to Neil Steubenhaus. We were so into those guys playing at this club called the Flying Jib in L.A. We were so into that Hemiola that we thought we'd throw it into Maynard's band. And Matt had that octave divider bass.
Yeah, that was. That just changed my life. That was an epiphany moment when you guys did that, man.
But you had the open-mindedness. open-mindedness and the musical diversity to be able to accept that, where like a straight-ahead bopper that never listened to anything except bop
right.
would go, what the heck are they doing? That's
right,
wrong.
Right, yeah.
And Maynard was like you. You and Maynard yeah. are of one mind.
Yeah, very much so, man. That's, you know, we all felt close to him, but, you know, he still shows up. This is like a Robert Lamb lyric. He shows up in my dreams, and they always feel contemporary when he does. You
there
know?
You go.
Yeah.
Now, you're not close. You're not far from DePaul, where Robert, where Jimmy Pankow and those guys went to college.
Yeah,
right?
That's right, man. And I just
what
saw.
What a band, Steve.
Man, I just saw Jimmy recently. Over the years, I've gotten to know him, you know, and so I did it.
Really?
I was with a band up in Milwaukee that opened for them at Summerfest, where we've played before, you and I. And
you sure did. What band were you in?
It was a group called Platinum that does some cool covers and originals up there in Milwaukee. So they wanted to expand the horn section, so they asked me up, and we were opening for Chicago. So I got in touch with Jimmy, and he just gave me a hard time. We had a blast. He's doing great.
Is he still touring with the band?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be 78 in August and sounds doing great.
Is Lee still playing? I know Walt's
yep.
not in the band.
No. Right, Walt's not out there. Ray Herman, yeah. who you may have met in L.A. and then in other yep. places, he's took over for Walt. But Lee's still out there. He sounds great.
So it's pretty much Lee and Jimmy, because I know my yeah. my buddy subs for Robert Lamb. Sometimes he'll do half the gig, and he can't do the whole gig kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think
anyway,
he's just
Chicago,
about done.
Chicago, baby. Woo! Do you remember playing the Blackstone Hotel with Maynard?
Oh, a bunch of times. That was like our home away from home.
Do you remember the song that Nelson Hill made up on the bus when he was burnt out and would go across the street for euros, but he wanted to go home? He was burnt out. He wanted a break. Do you remember that song?
I don't know if I remember that song.
I want a euro plate,
euro chips and Pepsi.
I want a plane ticket. I want to go home now.
And
it kind of was like Ganesha, right?
Yeah, and we sang it, you know. Sorry, Maynard, he's listening now. He's looking up at us from someplace. No, he's
I
listening.
Hope he's looking down at us.
I know, right? That's the joke he would say about Miles. But
he's looking down at us? He's looking up at us?
He would say, yeah, he's looking up at us from someplace. But yeah,
from the grave, looking
right?
up from the tombstone.
There you go. Well, I hope he doesn't mind, but we started singing the Nelson Hill lyrics on Ganesha. Right on the mics, man. I don't know if he heard us or not, but that's...
I want a euro plate.
Euro chips and Pepsi.
That's a Tim Reese song, isn't it? Or Chris Braman? Who wrote Ganesha?
That was Chris Braman.
Chris Braman. Did he sing those lyrics too?
I don't know if he did. I don't know if he'd go that far, but I was wailing them. I had to sing those, man.
And so was Chris Braman on the band before me with you?
Yes. And then he okay. left for a minute and came back out for the live album that we did, that
right.
live
who
from
was
San
on
Francisco.
The band when you first joined the band, Steve?
Chris. It was me and Chris.
And the whole band, though.
And the whole band. It was me and Chris.
Mancini?
Mancini was on the band.
Lou Kafka? Or
Lou Carfa was for one Carfa. Tour. Yeah, one tour. And then out comes your brother, Matt. And let's see, who else was out there? A guy named... God, I can't think. I'm going to have to edit this part. Dave somebody. This
Dave
is
Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey. That's right. I don't know whatever happened to him. He's one of my favorite cats. And then Ron
Stan
came
Mark.
Out. Stan was out there. And boy, who were some of the other cats? Well,
Hobie
my
cousin. Freeman.
Hobie.
Alan Weiss.
Yeah. And then Hugh Reagan. You remember him? Beautiful cat.
He was later, though. He was later.
Yeah.
I remember Steve Rentschler.
Yes, another beautiful cat.
He played he came too on... good, and so they fired him. He was too North Texas. He was hitting
right.
double ICs in tune and in time, and
that's right.
I think they let him go. Alan Weiss?
Yeah, yeah, he's in Colorado now, I understand.
And before Danny Jordan, who was the tenor player?
For me, Danny came out the same tour I did, so we started together.
Oh.
Right before Denny was this cat named Mike Smith, Smitty, a great alto player who was with...
I went to North Texas with Mike Smith.
Yeah, so it was Smitty.
He joined the Army Band or something, right?
Yeah, he did something, and then eventually he was with Sinatra and did that forever.
Wait a minute. Dan Jordan joined the band before Matt and Ron Pedley?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
He really? Because I'm trying to think who would. No.
The first North Texas guys ever that I knew about was Matt and Ron Pedley. Because I kind of broke the chain because Stan Mark said, no, North Texas guys don't play with Maynard. Miami guys do. Eastman guys do. North Texas is all about swing, you know. What kind of bugged me was that when I was at North Texas, it's like, are you going to make a living playing swing in Los Angeles?
No, maybe you got to play everything.
You make $50 a gig.
Right.
I don't know.
No, that was, you're right. That was a cat named Eric Traub, whose nickname was
Eric Traub. I remember him.
Zimbo. Yep. Was a sweet cat, man. He passed away fairly recently.
He did too.
Yeah. Yeah. A bunch of
Who
guys.
Who was the other trombone player? Just you and Chris?
Yep. It was just
when
us
you joined?
Two. Yep. For the longest time. Well, you know, let's bring it back around to you. So, okay. Maynard. We're having a great time, and folks know a lot about that now. But then after that, you go to L.A. Look at this for research. You established the Woodland Hills Drum Club.
You're on the case, Steve.
I'm on it, baby.
That's right.
And then you and Matt go out with Gino Vannelli. Holy cow, that must have been a blast.
Well, what happened, Steve, just to tell you what was cooking, was Gino Vannelli had an audition because after Brother to Brother, there was another Gino album called Nightwalker. So Brother to Brother was Mark Cranny, Jimmy Haslip, Carlos Rios, and Joe Vannelli. Nightwalker was Vinnie Colaiuta, Neil Steubenhaus, Mike Miller, great guitar player, who just passed away, and Joe Vannelli, all with Gino. But after that, they did an album called Black Cars. Some Mark Cranny, some David Garibaldi, different tracks. And they were going to go on the road, and they auditioned drummers. And I auditioned with Matt and my girlfriend at the time, Karen Childs, a great piano player and keyboard player. And we walked in and we said, he said, what do you want to do? And we said, how about Brother to Brother? You know, we played the whole song through. We got the gig. But Matt got a call from a band called Casper in New York. It was a band where you split everything. Gino was a sideman gig, like most gigs. But this was a band. So Matt left the Gino thing and went to New York and joined that band right before we did our first, like a month before our first tour, and the tour wasn't selling so great. I don't think they went on it anyway, but I got the gig with David Lee Roth, and I remember calling Gino and saying, Gino, I know we might not be going to Europe, but even if we are, I know we played the Dick Clark American Bandstand last week. I know your tour might not happen, but I just got the gig with David Lee Roth, with Steve I and Billy Sheehan, and Gino, in his ultimate musical fusion wisdom, said, I'm happy for you. I'm sure the money will be better, but the music won't be as good. And I said, well, Gino, it's going to be as good. It's just going to be different. You're not a hard rock guy. You're not a metal guy. I love Van Halen as much as I love Brother to Brother. So he said, okay, I get it. So that tour didn't happen. We never really toured with him. We played a little bit. We rehearsed a lot because Gino loves to rehearse.
I would think so. That music is pretty complex. You know, I love it.
Yeah, I
love that stuff, man. You know, speaking of complex music and stuff, I want folks to know here on this podcast, all the millions that watch it, I want folks to know where they can learn the most about Greg Bissonette. So I'm gonna try some technology here. Let's see if it works. If I can share the screen to your website, let's see if this works. Because folks need to go, they got
to
check
website,
out your website.
Huh?
Yeah.
Can you see it better than my website, Steve? Could I give you?
Let's do something else. Do you see it on the screen, though?
That's why you're using Riverside, because you can be all high tech and stuff.
I'm hip, man.
I have a YouTube channel I just started. My YouTube and my Instagram and my Facebook and my Twitter are TikTok, I should say, my TikTok. They're all tied to this title.
Well, let's go there.
Let's
go there.
And then my name, Greg, G-R-E-G-G, and then drums.
Right.
So at GREGGDRUMS. If they could go to my YouTube channel, that'll kind of tell you everything that's been cooking, and Instagram. And
let's see here.
Facebook,
I see Instagram.
TikTok.
So if we go to your YouTube channel, and we'll edit this to make it look like we're just geniuses. Look, there you go. Okay, so let's
can
share
this. Can you subscribe?
This. And you subscribe. You got to hit subscribe on this thing. All right, so if we go to, watch this. We go to your, bam, there it is.
Perfect. Now, if you could go to videos.
All right.
Right under my face, that circle, right under that circle, it says videos.
Yep. Do you see it?
And the last one I put up, if you could click that, that's all about stuff that you and I can teach the world. That's about chart writing and lengths of notes and DSs and codas and how to make your own cheat sheets. Because I get so many drummers when I do clinics, they don't know anything about reading, Steve. And I tell them the way I got the David Lee Roth gig is I had like 12 cheat sheet charts. And I went in and I played the songs down. And Dave said, who was your last gig? And I said, Maynard Ferguson. I didn't think David Lee Roth would know, but he said, Maynard Ferguson, the high note trumpet player that covered Theme from Rocky and Herbie Hancock's Chameleon.
Wow, good for
Dave.
Him.
I said, yeah, Dave. He said, if you could power that big band, you could power Steve Vai, Billy Sheehan, and I. Welcome to the band. Payday starts Friday. Let's go get some Mex food. So anyway, drummers, musicians, learn how to read, man.
Yep. You got to. And here's a good place to do it, right at...
Here's a little Steve Wies trivia. You just said, you got to. Who composed the Buddy Rich tune, You Gotta Try?
That's got to be the guy who did all the bassy stuff. Why can't I think of his name? You got to try.
Sammy
Nestico. There you go.
You are not. You're 100 for 100. You're 10
Bam.
For 10.
Bam. It's all the coffee.
Bam.
I had coffee today. That's why. All right. So we'll.
I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. But I do a heck of a lot of coffee.
My man. Well, you got it sometimes,
my man,
you know?
Steve Wies, accent on the wrong syllable, guitar,
Woo!
Hattiesburg.
Come on. Well,
come
sir.
On.
Well.
See, I'm from Detroit. In Detroit, we say, come on, Hattiesburg. They go, come on.
Come on. That's right.
Guitar.
Guitar. Got to have a guitar.
Guitar.
Well, see, I'm a hybrid because I go from, I started out in the Chicago area, then we moved to Hattiesburg. So I think of that as my hometown. And then I went back to Chicago eventually. But I was in Hattiesburg in the South for like most of my life. So I'm a hybrid, kind of both.
You're a hybrid.
I'm a hybrid. Yeah. I'm like a combined things.
You're
hey,
a Prius.
Well, you know what? What's that?
You're a Prius.
I'm a Prius. I'm a hybrid. I'm
a hybrid
gas
Prius car.
And electric.
You take
you
gasoline,
go.
But also 220.
That's it, man. And in real life, I do have the controversial Starship Tesla. That is my car. Hated
by
everybody.
I got a Lexus Electric that I love.
Oh, man. Isn't it beautiful? It's life-changing.
Don't you just love pressing the gas and you go 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds?
Boom. I want to be over here. Boom. Now I'm there. It's like a transporter.
I know I'm going to get a ticket because I'm just passing people too quickly.
I know. It's what a great feeling to know you're the fastest beast on the road. It's...
And I used to spend $480 a month driving from Thousand Oaks, California to Hollywood every day. Now I wave at gas stations.
Yes, isn't it charming? People use this whole fossil fuel thing. I remember that. It's very charming.
Yeah, baby.
My man. Okay, so, hey, I want to know.
Steve Wies.
Oh, apocryphal or not, tell me about the David Lee Roth audition. Is it true? You waited outside and heard and did some research, and tell me about that.
Yeah, Steve, I heard, well, the way I found out about it was my friend, you mentioned the Woodland Hills Drum Club, Byron Grombacher, who was one of my best friends. He was the Pat Benatar drummer, and he said, you want a rock gig? That's so great. You just got off the road with Maynard Ferguson. You must be a first-class drummer. If you want a rock gig, my friend Vinnie Vincent just left Kiss. It was Ace Frehley in the beginning with Kiss. Vinnie Vincent. Then Vinnie Vincent left Kiss. He was starting a band called the Vinnie Vincent Invasion. I auditioned for Vinnie. He said, I didn't want to tell you not to come. We already picked the drummer, but you'd be great for Dave Roth's band. I said, who's Dave Roth? He said, David Lee Roth. And I said, he's in Van Halen. He said, no, last week he quit Van Halen, started a new band with Billy Sheehan on bass, Steve Vai on guitar, and they're looking for a drummer. Here's Steve Wies' sister's number. She's setting up the auditions. I went down there. It's like 100 people. The first guy walks out. Oh, I don't play double bass. Get my double bass going. The second guy walked out. I didn't hit hard enough. Okay, hit hard. The third guy walks out. And Steve Vai wanted me to do all these crazy polyrhythms. And I don't understand that. He's from Zappa. Well, I had my Sharpie and a Remo coated white head on my snare I brought. So I just started transcribing all this stuff. He was singing. And he said, where did you learn to transcribe? I said, well, I went to North Texas. He said, I went to Berkeley. I said, I know you did, man. I'm a big fan of yours. You wrote the Black Page that Terry Bozzio played. You transcribed that? He said, and he and Billy said, if you can learn music that quick, I'm going to give you 12 cassettes. You can learn them by tomorrow. I went down there. I played all the songs, and that's when the Dave thing happened. How did you learn all these songs? Well, Dave, I wrote charts. Man, if you can read those charts and you can play with this Maynard Ferguson band, you can power this big band. And then we got in his car, his Panama car, the red convertible, and we're going to get Mex food. He pops in an 8-track tape, Steve, and it's Frank Sinatra. That's live. He goes, could you play this? I said, Dave, of course. This is Big Ben. I'd love to play this. And that's on the first David Lee Roth Eat 'Em and Smile record.
Wow.
So anyway, that's my David Lee Roth story.
That's incredible. Well, see, that fits with the theme of the day and the ID Fix. You make stuff happen. That's how great works.
Speaking of theme of the day, are you familiar with Matt's YouTube channel called Song in a Day?
No, I got to check it out.
Well, check this out. If you could go to YouTube right now for your viewers and call up Song in a Day and maybe put Matt Bissonette, Paul Dexter. Matt and Paul are two of my favorite songwriter musicians. And they have this show where in the morning you go to Starbucks, you don't know what you're going to write about. You come up with a title. Sometimes I'm involved. Come up with a title. Go to a studio, lay some tracks, bring in a guest singer. They cut the vocals. They put all kinds of instruments on it. They go back to Paul's house. They mix it by midnight, and it's a song in a day. Can you play the trailer real quick?
Yeah, let's check it out. Is this it right here? Let's see. Song in a Day trailer.
Is this a trailer?
In a world where it takes weeks or months to write and record just one hit song, these guys don't have that kind of time.
Song of the Day.
Fitting it in between coffee, pizza, and LA traffic. There's action, adventure, there's laughs and tears as the song is quickly written and hastily produced. Don't miss a single episode of The Song in a Day Show. Premieres February 23rd.
There's Matt.
By midnight, the song is mixed, and they're really great songs. There's like 8 episodes so far. You will laugh your butt off, Steve. Please check them out.
I will, man. YouTube.com at The Song in a Day Show. Everybody check that out, man. That looks killer.
So, and thank you. So you were saying the theme of the day, that ties in with the theme of the day, which is...
It does. The song in a day. The theme of the day, though, is Greg makes things happen. You don't sit around and wait for stuff. You make it happen.
And proactive.
Yes, proactive. And I remember when I first started to get to know you on Maynard's band, I saw that in action, and it's I've never forgotten it. I've lived that way ever since. So thanks.
Oh, Steve, you know what my dad, Bud, who Bud and Phyllis and Kathy love you. And Bud would always take me on his tasty bread route, and we would see somebody in the deepest, darkest, funkiest parts of Detroit with nothing. And he said, look, Greg, whether you are homeless, you got nothing, or whether you're a king and you got a palace, we are all equal. We're all equal in God's eyes, and we're all equal. He said,
amen.
You treat everybody the same way. And he said, people skills, the pie is half how you play, how you read, what kind of trombone you have, where you went to school, how you compose, all the musical stuff. The other half of the pie is how are you with people? Do you like people? If you don't like people, you shouldn't be in the music business because it's a people business. And you and I, Steve, we love people. And being politely persistent and being proactive, that is kind of a theme of today because that's you in a nutshell as well.
Well, that's where I picked it up was you and being around the joy of Maynard and just that whole thing, man. So I picked that up from
the
Bissonette family, man. Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, thank you. And we're
It was great hanging out with your sister at the Ringo show.
Man, thanks for doing that. And that video, she was over the moon. She was thrilled with that. And her son Jackson had a great time. And look at that for a segue. Ringo Starr, how did that happen? Bam. Ringo.
Well, Ringo Starr was another prayer thing, as they all are. I went through a really brutal divorce, and I got 50-50 custody of my kids. And I said, Lord, how can I do a gig that is the greatest gig I could ever do, but that doesn't go out on the road all the time? Because I want to be home. I want to keep my 50-50 custody, which I did.
And good.
The next morning, man, Ringo's manager, attorney, Bruce, called and he said, Maynard, Ringo has played with you since 2003, 5 years. This is 2008. Usually to be in the All-Star Band, you have to have hit songs that you sang, like Sheila E. would sing her songs. Levon Helm would sing his songs. But Ringo said he's run out of drummers with hit songs. He wants you to be the drummer in the All-Star Band. Can you start in 2 months? We're going on tour. And I have been his drummer since 2008, and he's not changed drummers. So it's the greatest gig I've ever had, the most fun. We fly everywhere on a private jet. We only stay at like Ritz-Carlton's and Four Seasons. And every night, 5 feet away, is the drummer, my dad, Bud Bissonette, and this guy behind me here, Gene Krupa. There's my dad with Gene Krupa and I when I was like 14. That's the reason I got in the band, was because of Ringo and the Beatles. Bud took Matt and I to see the Beatles in Detroit when I was seven
you
and
saw
Matt
them.
Was five. Yeah, because Bud was playing a wedding with his wedding band, and he walked out of the lobby of the convention room, and he saw thousands of screaming teenagers, Steve, and he said to his friend, he told this story so much so it's fresh in my mind, even though my dad passed in 08 and my mom in 07, he said, Bob, the food and beverage manager, I said, why is there all this craziness? He said, Bud, the Beatles are staying upstairs. They're playing tomorrow night at Detroit at the hockey arena where the Red Wings play. And my dad, he said, could you put me close to six tickets? And the guy said, Bud, you're out of your mind. It's tomorrow. It's sold out. It's the Beatles. But I like you. You're a good guy. I like your wedding band. You play Satin Doll, Girls with Emphysema, all the polkas. Come on. So my dad went back into the bar at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And Bob said, I got good news and bad news, but I got you six tickets for tomorrow, but it's going to cost you $36 total, $6 a seat. My dad said, oh, I'm making 50 on the gig, 36, all clear, 14. Kids, we're going to see the Beatles.
Woo!
And we saw the Beatles.
Man, how old were you when you did that? Do you have a good memory of it?
I was seven. I have all memory of it. It was 1966 in August 14th, and it was, we went to the we went to the evening show. There was an afternoon matinee and an evening show. And my sister Kathy was too young to go. She stayed home with my mom, Phyllis. But Matt, my dad, and I, and our neighbors, the Trax family, T-R-A-X, they all came out. We drove to Olympia. And I remember just thinking, we were in the nosebleeds, but I'm thinking, I'm in the same room with the four Beatles, you know? And it was heavy. But I was seven and Matt was five.
Wow. Now, have you talked
I told Ringo about it.
I was going to say.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask if you talked with Ringo about that night and that whole event.
Yeah. Yeah, we played the Fox with the Ringo All-Star Band. I guess it was about 2019. After soundcheck, I said, Ringo, in 1966, I was five and Matt was, I was seven and Matt was five. And we went a couple miles from here and saw you. He said, well, let's go. Let's take a car and go see. And I said, England or Rome, in America, we tend to tear down buildings of historical significance. It's a parking lot now. But when we started the show, after the first song, he stopped and he said, I was talking to my friend Greg on the other kit. And when he was seven, he was taken to see a band not far from here. And I was in that band. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So, it's a great story.
Wow. That's just got to be a high that never stops. Just being around
a hero
like that, it's got to be incredible.
Those kind of highs, Steve. Those kind of highs, like you and I playing with Maynard. You know, you and I going to North Texas. You doing a grad work there and being the director of the 1 o'clock. And you doing everything you're doing and have done. And me doing everything I'm doing and have done. That is the kind of high that you can't replicate. And unfortunately, a lot of musicians, they get back to the hotel room and they're looking at the ceiling and they've just had this high where they're giving all this love to the audience and getting it all back. And that's when they turn to drugs and alcohol.
Right.
You don't need that, man. Just remember, don't do the drugs and alcohol. Keep a clean mind. Remember things. Embrace the moment. Live in the now. And that's a high that can always be replicated.
My man, that's words to live by. I hope everybody writes those down, man. That's the real deal. Hey, all right, before we finish out, I got to do something. We got 10 minutes. Is that how much time we got?
I could go till 20. I could go till the big hand gets on the eight, which is 20 to 2 my time. So I can go another 20 minutes.
All right, let's do it then. In that case, I've got a couple other things. This is something. Now, this is the big bucks here. This is the special effects that I'll put on post-production. Are you ready? Yeah. Oh, come on, bring it. It's time for the lightning round. The lightning round. There lightning. It is. The lightning round. Every time I say lightning, either time either one of us say it, there's going to be a lightning sound effect. Yeah, it's because our budget is vast and I can do that. So the lightning round. There it is the sound. I'm going to name a couple of tunes from your oeuvre, and then you comment on them, and then it's up to you. I'll either play an excerpt of those tracks or put the whole track in after the fact. It's up to you. So
how many topics do you have? How many songs do you have?
Three. And we're not going to listen to them. Yeah, we're not going to listen to them. But I'll put them in after we talk about them. So the first one, title track, Warning, Will Robinson. The title song.
Thank you, Steve.
What a great song. I love it. Did Matt write it? Is it you on vocals? Tell me about it, the whole thing. But before we hear Greg's answer to that, let's check out the track. Here is Warning, Will Robinson.
Warning, Will Robinson, look what we've done. Normal and madness erasing the sun. Guilty while pleading our case face to face. Sure we'll be relevant, sure we will be lost in space. Come around to a new world seeking. Climb all aboard, we will fly to a shoreline. We will move on. Robinson. Guilty while pleading our case face to face. Sure we'll be relevant, sure we will be lost in space.
Thank you. Well, Matt started a record label, and he said, we don't need to wait around for record labels. He's been playing with Elton John for 12 years, and he had some money in the bank, and he said, I'll be the label. I'll put it out. We could be on Spotify and DistroKid or whatever the distributor is. We could be on Apple Music. We could sell CDs. We could do whatever we want. So he had the label, and we always loved Lost in Space. So we decided to call it Morning Will Robinson. And the song is kind of about how things are changing and have changed, and Warning Will Robinson, look what we've done. And you can dig into the lyrics later.
Yeah,
but Matt wrote all the music. Matt wrote all the music on the album Warning Will Robinson, including the song Warning Will Robinson. He got me to sing lead, and then he sang backgrounds. He
you
wrote
sound great on that, man.
Well, thank you. Thanks to Pro Tools. And and then he wrote all the songs and played bass on all these songs for the album, my solo album, Submarine, that was on Steve Vai and Ray Shearer's record label, Favored Nations. Ray started the first Guitar Center, and so they had this label, Favored Nations. And before that, just an album that was my name, and then before that, one called Siblings, where we wrote, where he wrote all the songs. Matt does the writing. I cannot write. When I write, it sounds like a drummer wrote the songs, so I don't even bother.
A lot of Al Hemiolas, if you write it, huh? There's going to be
a lot of Al Hemiolas. Hemiolas,
right.
I got a music ed degree. I took all the theory courses. I took all the strings classes, brass classes, conducting. I can teach K through 12 anywhere in the country, but I never went down, as you did, that songwriting path or the arranging and scoring and transposition and all that stuff. It just made my brain hurt. I just wanted to play drums. So Matt's more that guy. So he's not the sit there and write a big band chart like Steve Weiss, but he's write songs. And Matt's got a new album out called Common Road. It's Matt and Ron Pedley and I. And you'd swear it was an Oscar Peterson album. Matt's got the Red Coats, R-E-D-D-C-O-A-T-S, with Ron Pedley and I and Mike Medina and Andy Timmons and Wally Minkow.
Wow.
And he's got the Mustard Seeds, a band we had together. Matt writes the songs. Sometimes Doug Bossy and George Bernard would write the songs. But Matt has a band right now with a new album called The Squirts. I'm not in that band. That's Jorge Palacios, who's playing with Sammy Hagar right now, George.
Yeah.
And George Bernard, The Squirts. Check out The Squirts. But Matt's got albums like Oh No, Bass Solo. He's always writing. He's writing orchestral pieces.
Wow.
He's writing albums. He's writing worship albums. He's writing all kinds of albums. But Warning Will Robinson, in a long-winded answer to your short question, that song was written by Matt, and Matt plays bass on it.
And your vocals are wonderful. Of course, your drumming is killing. Well, let's go to another one from Submarine. How about, because this is a very special thing, No Hay Pecuero. How about those horns? Tell me about the horns on that track. Yeah, we're going to learn about that special horn section. But first, let's check out the track from the album Submarine. Here is No Hay Pecuero.
Thank you.
song, the song title, let me backtrack. The song title
all right,
goes back to, I was doing a commercial, a jingle, at the Village Studio, and Luis Conte, who's my friend, he came here from Cuba years ago. I said, teach me something fun in Spanish. He said, well, do you want to know how to say something kind of fun that you've probably heard before? La zona blanca es para desembarcamiento o embarcamiento de pasajeros solamente. No hay parqueo. The white zone at LAX. The white zone is for loading and unloading of passengers only. No parking, please, is no hay parqueo.
No, so we called it that.
And I was taking Afro-Cuban, and still am, taking Afro-Cuban drum set lessons from Jimmy Branley, also from Havana, who now lives here. Anyway, as an American citizen and great guy. So anyway,
drum
Jimmy
master,
Branley
right?
inspired that tune. And I played trumpet, and Matt played trombone.
You guys sound great. The brass sounds great on that.
Steve, thank you. We do a lot of trumpet and trombone on Song in a Day, too. So thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that song was so much fun. David Garfield played the piano solo. Gary Hoey played the guitar solo. Matt played trombone. I played trumpet. He played bass. I played drums and percussion. Woo! What a blast. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, man. We'll enjoy checking it out. And then the last one in the lightning round is shameless self-promotion. I got to talk about South 21st Shuffle. All right, now, here we go. This is a tune that I wrote, and it was the first one that was recorded by Maynard Ferguson way back in 1982. Greg just kills it on this thing. It's the tune we've been talking about. This is South 21st Shuffle.
We'll be right back. Steve Weiss, composer for both.
You mentioned it earlier about the David Letterman theme with that great original band, but there's more to the story, as they say. I think that album sounded great only because of what you and Ron and Matt did right before the recording. You took a week and rewrote all the rhythm section parts and had sectionals every night in the hotel room. Once again, making stuff happen, and the record sounded a lot better than it should have because what you guys did.
I don't remember that, Steve. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, it was so you guys, we were getting ready to do the recording and the band was hit and miss, you know, as that band could be. I mean, we all had a great time. We all loved one another, but it was kind of hit and miss. And you guys, as in you and Ron Pedley and your brother Matt, decided, man, let's tighten this up. And you came up with charts of your own. And I remember you had, I tell people this all the time, you had 3x5 cards or something like that on the low tom. And you picked out some fills that we could not miss the rhythms. And you started playing those fills exactly the same way. And that album sounded great because of what you guys did.
Steve, I have a really good memory for most things. I remember really, you know, loving that rhythm section with Matt and Ron Pedley. And I do remember having a lot of ideas. Gino Vannelli, brother-to-brother ideas, Vinnie Colaiuta, Neil Steubenhaus, Barnaby Finch ideas, Tony right. Williams, Ron Carter, Herbie Hancock ideas, Steve Gadd, Eddie Gomez, Chick Corea ideas. But I remember the three of us really talking about how we could do little bass drum, bass kick parts, how we could catch figures like on Fire Shaker, on South 21st Street Shuffle, on Bebop Buffet. But I didn't remember us really having these sectionals, but I believe you. I don't doubt it at all. But
well,
man,
it
all I
gotta
say
away.
Is when I put on Live in San Francisco, I flash back to how fun it was because Jeff Weber, who Matt and I still work with a lot, he said we're gonna do this live to two track. And Rick Pekonen, who was the engineer who I've worked with a ton in LA, they came up to the Great American Music Hall. My sister Kathy flew out, rode the bus with us for a while.
But I remember that. Yeah.
We did that album. And before we played Dennis's tune, Matt had a fretless on a stand, a fretted on a stand, and an upright on a stand. And we were just about to do don't tell me now because I got to work my memory. Coconut champagne.
Coconut champagne.
And as Maynard's introducing the song, Matt knocks his fretless over.
Oh, that's
and a
right.
fretless bass.
Yep.
It's hard enough to get in tune as it is, and it was all wonky. But when he's going, oh no, I got to play that line. And it was like, bah, bah. You don't really hear the intonation problem till he starts really playing the bah, 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 bah. And he's tuning
right.
as he goes. And it doesn't, for most people, it doesn't really sound that out of tune because he was really using his ear on a fretless. That's kudos to Matt. But I remember when the album came out, I called Jeff Weber. I said, what did you do to my snare drum, Jeff? He said, look, your snare was tuned so tight and the snares were tuned so tight that it was like this. Actually, he said, you couldn't hear I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, don't be mad at me, but Rick Pekonen and I went into Ocean Way Studios, which is now East West, 6050 Sunset, and we took a snare drum and we put a little Oratone speaker on top of the snare drum, and we ran the album through that Oratone, and we mic'd the bottom of the snare.
Wow.
So way before there were samples, and before you could do Pro Tools and bring in samples, they played the whole album through that Oratone. And every time my snare hit, Rick recorded that. And when you think about it, it doesn't sound fake, but there's more in the snare drum than
absolutely.
There was on the recording.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because all these years later, I thought that was a thing that you did live, that there was another snare in the truck. So this is after the fact he did it. Wow.
He did it after the fact when they were mixing. They both said, man, what's with that snare? So then how else could you get snare in 1983? That's how they did it.
On a live to two track. That's incredible. See, that's getting into like Abbey Road Beatles stuff coming up with that workaround, you know. That's like
a workaround is a lot better than a reach around.
Hey, but seriously, folks, ho.
You know, Steve, you mentioned No Hay Parqueo, and I went to North Texas as you did, and I took Spanish. I got a D, but I've been really, since I live in Southern California, Los Angeles, I have so many Spanish-speaking friends, and I'm really trying to use one word with them a lot. I'm trying to say the word mucho, because it means a lot to them.
Oh, really? Even an attempt?
I'm using the word mucho means because it means a lot to them.
Ta-da! That went right over my head. I love dad jokes, and that one bounced right off my head. I got a good dad joke for you. Here's one.
Give me a dad joke.
All right. I was watching a cooking show from Australia, and it was very interesting. Australian chefs, one thing or another, and they decided to have a contest for the best meringue. And some guy comes up with a meringue. The audience goes wild and cheers. I thought that was unusual because usually Australians boo meringue. Hey!
I was in Nashville last week for a drum show. And this 30-year-old drummer was on the plane with us, and I got to know him. He went down Broadway, bands for a mile on both sides of the street. He got so drunk, he blacked out. He woke up the next morning in bed with a beautiful woman, and he went, oh, my gosh, what happened? He went to the bathroom. Next to the sink was a marriage certificate, Steve. He signed, and so did she sign the marriage certificate. He went over, and he woke her up. He said, look, I realized we got married last night, but I got to tell you, I work really hard all week. Every weekend, I golf all day. You will never see me. She said, well, that's all right. I got to tell you, I'm a hooker. And he said, well, you might be holding the club wrong, or maybe you're standing too close to the tee.
Oh! Another, you got to give yourself a...
forever.
Give yourself
a...
So what
are you doing now? I want to interview you. What are you doing now in Chicago? What's up?
Well, man, I'm playing a lot and I'm writing a lot. I got a big project coming up next year where I'm going to do another big band album. So I'm writing 10 charts for that. It's going to be myself in that. Do a lot
do
of guest artists.
You have a local Chicago band?
I play in a bunch of different ones here. There's a fun band called Tributeosaurus that becomes a band like every month. And this coming month, we're going to be Woodstock. So I play in a band. We just did Chicago. They did The Who. I played on a couple of Quadrophenia things.
Who's the drummer in that band?
Oh, man. Mike, I can't think of his last name. I will look that up and put it in here when we edit.
Is he one of the top Chicago go-to drummers?
Well, he's a very good one in that arena, in that genre. There's a lot of great drummers here in town. You know,
first call session guy?
Probably George Flautas is a great cat.
Is he a flautist or a drummer?
Hey, but seriously, that's his name. There's a lot of good ones. There's not a Greg Bissonette here. Of course, there's not a Greg in any town.
He stinks. That guy stinks. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was with another friend of mine, and he was really depressed on a Saturday morning because he had such a hangover. He lost his license. I said, well, why don't you call a few of the bars you were at towards the end of the night? So he remembers the last bar he's in. He calls. The bartender picks up. It's like 11 in the morning. He says, look, you got to help me. You're the last bar I remember. I've lost my wallet. All I remember is you had a gold toilet. And he goes, oh, hold on. Hey, Bob, I think I found the guy that took a dump in your tuba.
Oh. I actually remember that one, but I wanted to hear you finish it. You nailed it. Hey, all right, before we wrap up, I do have to mention one thing.
We have 9 minutes.
9 minutes. This is just enough time for this.
If I'm there in two, I'll be okay.
All right. Well, we'll be quick with this. You, sir, among the many things that you are, all the things you are a polymath because you also have a career, somewhat of a secret career, as a voiceover artist. I was hoping we might just get a touch. I don't know if you can do it. If you're under contract, you can't give me any whinny. I don't know.
Well, I'll give you a little whinny, but hopefully Disney won't, you know, come after me. But anyway, Matt and I were playing drums and upright bass on Beyond the Sea, as you know, the song Somewhere Beyond the Sea, for the ending of Finding Nemo. And my brother's chart was well written, but mine looked like it wasn't written. Mine was not written by Steve Wiest. Mine was written by a third grader. I didn't have a DS. I didn't have a coda. I definitely did not have a double DS and a double coda, but it was a long big band chart. And I said, hey, Matt, does your chart have a DS? I don't have a DS or a double DS or a coda or a double coda. And all of a sudden the control room says, drummer, come into the control room. So I bring my chart in. I said, guys, I don't have a DS. I don't have a double. Stop. We don't care about your chart. You've got that voice we're looking for. The Disney guy. His name is Rick Dempsey, Senior Vice President of Character Voices. I said, what voice? He said, right there. So since then, he kind of worked with me a lot, got me acting lessons, got me really trying to replicate the Sterling Holloway voice. But I've done a lot of Winnie the Pooh work, and I'm going to just give you a little Winnie the Pooh right now. There's a main guy named Jim Cummings. He's the main Winnie the Pooh guy since Jim Cummings. He's the main guy since Sterling Holloway passed away in 81. But when Jim can't make it, I get to be the Bee Pooh. So I'm going to give you a little bit of Steve Wiest. Now close your eyes, Steve.
All right.
Oh, bother. Am I talking to the one and only wonderful trombone player, composer, arranger, orchestrator, band leader, Steve Wiest from Chicago? Steve,
wow.
Do they have a small smackerel anywhere in Chicago of something sweet called honey? Oh, bother. Bye-bye.
Oh. Pooh just mentioned my name.
We're going to fast forward to about 7 years ago, and I'm playing drums on a big band piece for a big casino called Morongo Casinos in Palm Springs. And the lead trumpet player is none other than Maynard alumni Wayne Bergeron. And he yells out as I'm leaving, Bissonette, you still doing those Winnie the Pooh sessions? And I said, oh, bother, not as much as I wish. And the Morongo ad guy says, you do voiceovers? Get in the booth. I've done about 10. I'm playing drums on them, but I've done about 10 voiceovers for Morongo Casinos.
Oh, how cool. Man.
Cartoon Network stuff once in a while and all kinds of stuff. I love voices.
That's great. Well, you've got a very distinctive voice. And, you know, jazz players, we imitate. We do things. We assimilate sounds, and we've got a good ear for that stuff. So it's no wonder you nail it. That's great.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yes, sir. Well, I couldn't leave us without getting into that. We finish with what's next for Greg. What's coming up for Greg now?
Thank you. Well, I just finished a really fun month-long Ringo tour on the East Coast. We played Radio City Music Hall, which is also where Paul McCartney came out in 2010, 15 years ago, and did a surprise for Ringo's birthday.
Philly.
We played all up and down, a lot of gigs in Florida, all over the place on the East Coast. And then I came home. I went to the Nashville Drum Show for 4 days for my drum company, Dixon, D-I-X-O-N. And now I'm getting ready to go to England, about an hour south of London, where Knights of the Round Table was, and Winchester Cathedral, England, for the Freddie G Drum Camp for a week. Then I'm home for a few days, and I go to Southeast Asia for my drum company, Dixon. I'm doing drum seminars in Manila, in the Philippines, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Jakarta, Indonesia, and Taipei and Taichung, Taiwan. So then I come home for about a week, and I do another really fun Ringo tour. We're playing Las Vegas. We'll be at the Venetian for a six-night run. We're going all over the place. And so that's going to be super fun. And then I come home, and my brother and I do some stuff for that trio with Matt and Ron Petley and I, Common Road. And we're always doing new things for projects Matt's writing. And so I just look forward to hanging out for Thanksgiving. My daughter just graduated the Berklee College of Music in Boston. She's a singing, songwriting / K-12 choir director, music ed. And my son is a big shot with Lexus. He lives about a mile away. So we'll have Thanksgiving with Kathy, Matt, all of our families together. And then Christmas. And I'm looking forward to ending up the year Christmas with the Bissonette family.
Oh, give them all a big hug from me, man. I haven't seen them in a long time.
We love you, Steve.
Oh, love you guys. And Deborah, my wife, and I will be seeing you with Ringo in Chicago. We'll be at that gig.
Are you coming?
Yeah, I'm going to be there, man. We'll both be there, and we'll say howdy to you.
You bought tickets?
Of course. I support the cause, my man.
Because here's the deal I'm going to tell the world right now.
All right.
We are very blessed. A lot of bands, you don't get tickets. But with Ringo, each member is very blessed to have two tickets. And I gave mine away from a really good friend of mine that's part of the Beatle Fest, Joan. Mm. And I gave it away. I always say the first person that asks, and she asked. And so we're not really having a backstage hang because Ringo caught COVID a couple times and we canceled tours. So I would love to come out to your seats and say hi to you before the show.
Oh, that'd be great, man. Let's do it. I'll
text you the day of the show and then text me when you get to your seat so I can come out.
I'll do it. Most definitely, man. We'll do it. She's looking forward to meeting you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again. And this was a blast. Thanks for doing this, my brother.
What a blast, Steve. I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too, man. And have a great tour. Have a great, be safe out there. Give everybody a hug for me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right.
God
much
bless
love,
you.
Man. Bye-bye.
You too. Much love. Bye-bye.
Much love.
Much love.
Man, oh man, was that fun or what? Greg Bissonette, ladies and gentlemen, one of the hardest working folks in all of show business and one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. Let that be a lesson to all of us in how to conduct ourselves through this journey we find ourselves enjoying the quest of the arts, etc. Greg Bissonette. Check out all the stuff we mentioned, his links, his recordings. Go buy them. Pick up tickets now for Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. All kinds of ways to hear and see Greg. So please do. Please support him, his brother Matt Bissonette, the whole kit and caboodle. Say hello to Kathy Bissonette if you ever see her here and there. All right, man, that's it for Wiest World's episode with Greg Bissonette, and we will see you again very soon. And in the meantime, I think I will end in honor of Greg's boss, Ringo, by saying peace and love.
WCBC Wiest World.
Wiest World is a production of Wiest World Productions 2025.
Man, you're supposed to be talking fast or something. I mean, that was slow and lame.